truth you must know. John 8:32 NLT 32 And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Jesus promised that truth from his word will make you free, so believing lies is what has kept you in bondage. The good news of what Jesus did for you is the power that will deliver you, Romans 1:16. So we start by giving you truth to expose the lies of the enemy. Not everything that has been taught by Christians is actually the message of the Bible. Unfortunately, tradition and unbelief have often been presented as truth when they are in fact the devil's lies. So you may find differences here from what you have previously been taught. If so, search the scriptures prayerfully asking God to show you the truth. The written word of God, the Bible, is our only reliable and infallible standard. We cannot depend on what people say, regardless of their position or title. What is written here gives you evidence from the Bible to change what you believe to line up with reality. Changing your beliefs will change your actions and your future. We have access to God's help by faith, Romans 5:2. That means we must believe what God said to receive God's help. Some things written here may seem like they have not been true in your previous experience. But when you understand and believe God's message more accurately, you will have different results than before. If anyone tells you that this message from God's word will not work for you, remember Jesus Christ said, "All things are possible if you believe." Mark 9:23. What is written here gives you evidence to change what you believe. Everything you believe is a choice you make. So keep reading and thinking about what is written here, and ask the Lord to guide you and help you understand the truth. To work most effectively, these truths from the Bible need to become part of your inner thinking, the way you see God and the way you see yourself. 1. God is good. God is not a bad guy. He is not against you. God is not your problem. He is the answer to your problems. Psalm 1:7-9 The Lord is good, a refuge in times of trouble. He cares for those who trust in Him. The Bible reveals who is responsible for all the bad things that happen, and it is not God. God is not guilty. Deuteronomy 32:4 NLT 4 He is the rock, His deeds are perfect. Everything He does is just and fair. He is a faithful God who does no wrong. How just and upright He is. God has never done anything unfair or unjust. Everything He does is perfect. Luke 6:35 NLT 35, Love your enemies. And you will truly be acting as children of the Most High, for He is kind to those who are unthankful and wicked. According to Jesus, God even shows love to His enemies. Psalm 145:8-9 NLT 8 The Lord is merciful and compassionate, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. 9 The Lord is good to everyone. He showers compassion on all His creation. God is kind and merciful, gracious and generous. He desires the best for everyone. Every good thing we have or enjoy is because of God and His love. James 1:17 NLT 17 Whatever is good and perfect comes down to us from God our Father, who created all the lights in the heavens. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. 1 John 4:8 NLT 8 But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God is love, and love is defined by giving. God puts the interests of others first. He is not selfish. He is willing to suffer so you will not have to suffer. If you want to know what God is like, look at Jesus Christ. He perfectly revealed God to us. John 1:18 NLT 18 No one has ever seen God. But the unique one, who is Himself God, is near to the Father's heart. He has revealed God to us. Psalm 86:5 NLT 5 O Lord, You are so good, so ready to forgive, so full of unfailing love for all who ask for Your help. Jeremiah 9:24-24 But let the one who boasts boast about this, that they have the understanding to know Me, that I am the Lord, who exercises kindness, justice and righteousness on earth, for in these I delight, declares the Lord. Exodus 34, 6 NLT 6 The Lord passed in front of Moses, calling out, Yahweh, the Lord, the God of compassion and mercy. I am slow to anger and filled with unfailing love and faithfulness. Psalm 107, 1 NLT 1 Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. 2. God is faithful and dependable. With his word God gave us a firm foundation to base our life on. Something absolutely unchanging. Something God himself will never change. So we can be certain about God's will. If we want to know God's will, we only need to see what he said in his word. Psalm 138, 2 BNLT 2 I praise your name for your unfailing love and faithfulness, for your promises are backed by all the honor of your name. The integrity of God is wrapped up in his word. If he did not keep his word, he would be a liar, and that will never happen. Psalm 89, 34 NLT 34 No, I will not break my covenant, I will not take back a single word I said. God will not change the words he has spoken. God will never break his word. God will always do what he said he will do. Numbers 23 19 NLT 19 God is not a man, so he does not lie. He is not human, so he does not change his mind. Has he ever spoken and failed to act? Has he ever promised and not carried it through? God never lies. He is always alert, making sure every word he has spoken is fulfilled. Jeremiah 1:12 near 12 The Lord said to me, You have seen correctly, for I am watching to see that my word is fulfilled. Mark 13:31 near 31 Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. God's word is more dependable than the stars in the sky and the ground you stand on. That will all eventually be changed, but God will never change any word he has spoken. 2 Timothy 2:13 NLT 13 If we are unfaithful, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny who he is. No matter what, God is faithful to keep his word because he cannot deny who he is, the truth. John 14, 6. To do anything other than what he said he would do, would make him a liar. God is not a liar. 3. God is your Father. Once you receive Jesus, God becomes your Father, John 1:12. 2 Corinthians 6:18 NLT 18 And I will be your Father, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Human, and even animal, parents desire the best for their children. Jesus said, How much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things? Matthew 7:11, God your Father is rich and he loves you more than any earthly parent ever loved their child. God wants the best for you. God wants you to be happy and healthy. He withholds nothing good from his children. God has promised to be a father to you. That means he takes the responsibility of providing for you, caring for you, and training you to maturity so you can be successful. A father is someone stronger, more capable, and more knowledgeable than you are, and thus able to provide for you when you are not able to do so for yourself. A good parent takes care of their child, even if they have to do without, and God is not just a good parent, but perfect. A child does not have to be perfect to be loved and provided for by a good parent. Nor do you have to be perfect for God to love you and provide for you. God loves you simply because you are his child, not because you are perfect. God cares about everything that affects you. He even keeps count of the number of hairs on your head, Luke 12, 7. 4. Right standing with God is a gift. Righteousness is right standing, or good standing with God. It does not mean human perfection. You are righteous because of what Jesus did for you. God has forgiven you of all sin. 2 Corinthians 5:19, 21 NLT 19 For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. 21 For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. Titus 3, 5 NLT 5 He saved us, not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. He washed away our sins, giving us a new birth and new life through the Holy Spirit. Romans 3 24 NLT 24 Yet God, with undeserved kindness, declares that we are righteous. He did this through Christ Jesus when He freed us from the penalty for our sins. Righteousness is a gift from God, not something you can earn or achieve. God simply declares you are innocent, as far as He is concerned, because of your faith in Jesus. Romans 3 22 NLT 22 We are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. Romans 10 10 NLT 10 For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by confessing with your mouth that you are saved. Galatians 2 16 NLT 16 Yet we know that a person is made right with God by faith in Jesus Christ, not by obeying the law. And we have believed in Christ Jesus, so that we might be made right with God because of our faith in Christ, not because we have obeyed the law. For no one will ever be made right with God by obeying the law. Our new covenant with God is not based on us obeying laws and keeping rules. Instead, God puts His life in us and changes our hearts so that we desire to do the right thing. The only way to have good standing with God is by accepting His gift, Jesus Christ. You cannot earn good standing with God by your good works or by obeying His commandments. 1 Corinthians 1 30 NLT 30 God has united you with Christ Jesus. For our benefit God made Him to be wisdom itself. Christ made us right with God, He made us pure and holy, and He freed us from sin. Romans 5 17 NLT 17 For the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and His gift of righteousness, for all who receive it will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. 5. How faith works. What is faith? Faith is what you believe. In the New Testament, faith is the noun form and believe is the verb form of the same word. Faith is not difficult to understand. If you believe something, that is your faith. Faith and belief are the same thing. A belief is something you have accepted as truth and consider to be true, whether it is actually true or not. Faith is not a feeling, attitude, outlook, or state. Faith is primarily a choice, a decision of your will. Nothing can force you to believe. What you believe is a decision you make. Here is a definition: faith, a belief, is always a decision, based on some evidence, resulting in some action. So faith is when you are persuaded by the evidence you have been presented, and you make the decision to accept it as truthworthy of action. Faith in God is a choice to believe what God says is true. It is accepting God's word as evidence worthy of acting upon. Faith in God and His word operates on the same principles as faith in anything else. There are no special rules. It is all a matter of what you believe. How do I get faith? Each one of us chooses whether we will believe something, based on our evaluation of the evidence presented to us. No one was born with beliefs. Every belief you now have was acquired as a decision you made at some point in your life. You decided to believe what you now believe. Since every belief you have came as a result of a decision you made, every belief can also be changed by another decision. But because faith is always based on some evidence, we must have evidence that convinces us before we can change any belief. Life constantly presents us with evidence which forces us to make decisions. Those decisions are based on this question: is this evidence sufficient to accept as truth? The primary evidence God has given us so we may have faith in Him is His word. God is not a liar, He can be trusted. Whatever God says, always happens. So you can go to the Bible and decide to believe it. Then you will have faith in God, for the Bible is God's written word. If someone says they don't have much faith, the solution for them is to see the evidence from God's word on that subject, then choose to accept what God said as true. A literal translation of Romans 10:17 tells us that faith results from accepting the God message. How does someone get faith in God? By hearing the truth about God, and accepting it as the truth. Faith in God comes by choosing to accept the message of God. So we get faith in God by making a decision to accept God's written word, the Bible, as truth worthy of being acted upon. How do I know when I have faith? At its heart, faith is always a decision. No one can force you to believe in anything. The choice is yours. Jesus said if you had faith you would say, Matthew 17:20, Luke 17:6, so faith speaks. Faith is not silent. We express what we believe by our words and our actions. I used to think it was hard to be certain about faith because it was something like a feeling or state of being. But now I understand that once we make the decision to believe, we are in faith, no matter how we may feel, unless we make another decision to stop believing. Faith is not a mystery. You never have to wonder whether you have faith. You know what you believe by what you say and do. How does faith work? All humans operate on a belief system. As we go through life, we are constantly being presented with information which is evidence that we must evaluate and judge. Whenever we choose to accept the evidence presented to us as sufficient to accept as truth, then that belief is added to our belief system. Unless and until we are presented with new evidence that causes us to decide to believe differently about a subject, we keep the same belief. Then as we go through life, we always act, often subconsciously, on the basis of our belief system. Sometimes we face situations in life where there is not time to think, and immediate action is required. These actions are always governed by the beliefs we have already determined, which form our belief system. The Bible is major evidence to change your beliefs. It is a message from God, the Creator, who knows how everything works. As we receive new evidence from the Bible, it may conflict with some of our previous beliefs. But we know that God cannot lie, and whatever He says is truth and will happen. Mark 11:22-24 BBE 22. And Jesus, answering, said to them, have God's faith. 23 Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and be put into the sea, and has no doubt in his heart, but has faith that what he says will come about, he will have his desire. 24 For this reason I say to you, whatever you make a request for in prayer, have faith that it has been given to you, and you will have it. Mark 11:22 literally says, have God faith. Jesus was teaching us how to use our faith the same way God does. God faith speaks the desired result and never allows anything to change that statement. Mark 11:23, we are God's children, made in His image and likeness, and He is training us how things work in His creation. Once God makes a statement, He never changes it. There are words God spoke thousands of years ago, which are not yet fully manifest to us yet. But God never chooses to say anything different. God believes what He said will come to pass. Doubt, in Mark 11:23, does not mean have questions. It means a judgment, decision, that completely separates. So it would mean accepting some new evidence presented as sufficient to reverse your previous decision and statement of faith. Receiving new evidence and deciding whether it is sufficient to change our belief is a never-ending cycle. We can be in faith 1 minute, and in UN faith, unbelief, the next minute, if we make a new decision based on the evidence being presented to us. The disciples had faith in John 2:11, close to the beginning of Jesus' ministry, and did not in Mark 16:14, at the end of Jesus' earthly ministry. Fear is the opposite of Bible hope. Bible hope is a positive expectation based on and supported by a belief in God's word. Fear is a negative expectation based on and supported by a belief in something bad. Both involve the imagination, the seeing part of our thinking, the ability to visualize something before it happens or after it happens. Faith in God produces Bible hope, expecting good to happen. Faith in bad things produces fear, expecting bad to happen. Faith is the support, the foundation, the underlying thing under both hope and fear. You cannot have hope, which is a positive vision of what you expect, without faith, which is a choice to believe in something. You cannot have fear, which is a negative vision of what you expect, without faith, which is a choice to believe in something bad. Your beliefs are the foundation, the solid footing which support your hopes or fears, and enable them to exist. So when your beliefs change, your hopes and fears will also change. All your beliefs are a choice you made at some point in time, allowing them to become part of your belief system, which provides the basis for your hopes or your fears. Faith is released and put into action by speaking what you believe with your mouth. The primary action of faith toward God is speaking in agreement with God's word. And then we stand in that position of faith, regardless of feelings or circumstances, no matter how long it takes. Here is an example of how to operate in Bible faith. First, based on the Bible, believe you have authority to do this, then speak to whatever is causing the problem. Second, speak the desired result. For example, sickness be gone, then body be healed. Speak to whatever problem is in your way. Tell it what you want it to do. Things will obey your authority released through words of faith. Then believe you receive your answer, and never change what you have just said. 6. You receive from God by faith. What you receive from God is not based on what you need or what you deserve, but on what you believe. You don't receive from God because you are a good person or because of what you do for God. You receive from God on the basis of your faith, which means what you believe. In the Bible, faith is the noun form and believe is the verb form of the same word. Faith is a choice to believe what God says is true. Faith accepts God's word as evidence worthy of acting upon. Faith works by believing God's word in your heart and speaking it with your mouth. Matthew 8:13 is 13 and to the centurion Jesus said, "Go, let it be done for you as you have believed." And the servant was healed at that very moment. What the centurion believed determined what he received from God. It is still the same today. Matthew 9:29 is 29. Then he touched their eyes, saying, "According to your faith be it done to you." This statement of Jesus is valid for you today just as it was then. You will receive from God according to your faith. Jesus does not show favoritism. He would not tell these people they would receive according to their faith, then let you receive according to something else. Romans 4:16 is 16. That is why it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his offspring, not only to the adherent of the law but also to the one who shares the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. By blessing people on the basis of faith, God can freely give to all people, by his grace. No matter what anyone has done, God can bless them if they will believe his word. Romans 5:1-2 is 1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. 2. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. All we receive from God is by his grace. We do not deserve it, and we are not able to earn it. It is a gift offered by grace. But we must access it and receive it by faith. Many try to earn something from God when he has already given us all things through Christ. Now by faith we must receive what God has already provided. Galatians 3:9 is 9. So then, those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. Only those who are of faith will receive God's blessing. God can do great things, that only does for us what we believe. Galatians 3:14-14. In order that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Whatever we receive from God must be received by faith. Ephesians 2:8. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God. We are saved, or delivered, only through faith. Everything we receive is a gift from God, we do not earn it or deserve it. But without faith we will not receive it. Hebrews 6:12. So that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. There are many promises in the Bible. If you want them in your life, you must possess them through faith and patience. 7. God is your source. God is your true source of supply, not people, not government, and not even your own abilities or assets. Everything else you might trust in could fail you, but God will never fail you. God wants you to look to Him as your provider. Money, jobs, possessions, and people may be used by God to provide for you. But they are only supply lines God may use, not sources. A source is where something comes from. Provision of all we need comes from God. It may come through someone else, but it originates with God. Having God as your source means someone dependable is watching out for you. It means you don't have to worry. You don't know the future, but God your Heavenly Father does. Things may happen in life that surprise you, but they will not surprise God. God sees ahead in your future, and prepares provision for you. So you don't have to live in fear. You can relax and trust in God. No matter what happens, God will always be there to guide you and provide for you. He has promised to never leave you. Hebrews 13:5-6 NLT 5. Don't love money, be satisfied with what you have. For God has said, I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. 6. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, so I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me? With God as your source of supply, you can face life with confidence. God is faithful and He will not fail you. Your job or occupation is one avenue God can use to bless you. But, your job is not your source. God's plan for mankind is that we labor, Genesis 2:15, 2 Thessalonians 3:10-12. So God will usually provide for us by giving us a good job, good health, and the ability to do that job. However, God is not limited to providing for you through a job. Even if you lose the job, God is still your source, and He will still provide for you. God can bless you through friends and relatives, but they are not your source. Even if they fail you or forsake you, God will not. God moves on people and influences them to bless you. God causes situations to work out for your benefit. God is behind every blessing. So thank Him for every blessing, no matter how it comes, because it is from Him. Trusting in anything other than God can fail you. Money can devalue overnight. Things can lose their value. Even big companies sometimes fail. Only God is completely dependable. When there is no other source, He is the source. Many times God has supernaturally provided food and multiplied food, Exodus 16:35, 2 Kings 4:42-44, Matthew 14:15-21, Matthew 15:32-38, and He will do the same for you, if necessary. You can trust God. 8. God promises to provide for you. John 6:35-35. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. 1 Timothy 5:8-8. Anyone who does not provide for their relatives, and especially for their own household, has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Now that you have received Jesus, you are a child of God. This scripture says that not providing for your family makes you worse than an unbeliever. You can be certain God will never be worse than an unbeliever, He will always provide for His own family. That includes you. Any court would condemn an earthly father, who, although rich, withheld support from his children. Should we think our Father God is any less loving and caring than an earthly father? No. Jesus taught that our Heavenly Father is much more gracious and generous than any earthly father. Stop and think about this fact. Luke 12:22, 24:27-32 NLT 22. Then, turning to his disciples, Jesus said, "That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food to eat or enough clothes to wear. 24 Look at the ravens. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for God feeds them. And you are far more valuable to Him than any birds. 27 Look at the lilies and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. 28 And if God cares so wonderfully for flowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, He will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? 29 And don't be concerned about what to eat and what to drink. Don't worry about such things. 30 These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers all over the world, but your Father already knows your needs. 31 Seek the kingdom of God above all else, and He will give you everything you need. 32 So don't be afraid, little flock. For it gives your Father great happiness to give you the kingdom. In God's kingdom there is no lack. A kingdom is a king's dominion, where a king rules. When you allow King Jesus to rule in your life, you are part of His kingdom. Colossians 1:13 NLT 13 For He has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of His dear Son. When you receive Jesus Christ you become a citizen of His kingdom, so He is responsible for your welfare. Matthew 6:31-33 said 31 Therefore, don't worry and say, what are we going to eat? Or what are we going to drink? Or what are we going to wear? 32 Gentiles long for all these things. Your Heavenly Father knows that you need them. 33 Instead, desire first and foremost God's kingdom and God's righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Instead of worrying about your provision, your focus should be God's will. This passage mentions two things, being in God's kingdom and having righteousness, which means right standing with God. Everyone who believes on Jesus is now in God's kingdom, and has been given righteousness as a free gift. So you have God's promise that if you are in His kingdom and in right standing with Him, you need not worry about provision, for God will provide for you. This promise, while indicating God is generous, does not promise riches, but does promise basic provision for everyone who is in God's kingdom. This promise of God is not based on what you deserve or what you are able to do. If you belong to God, He will provide for you. No matter where you are, or what you are facing, this is God's promise of basic provision for you. If necessary, God will multiply food or have ravens bring it to you, like He did for Elijah, 1 Kings 17:2-6. But if you refuse to believe God will provide for you, your doubt will open the door for the devil to steal God's provision from you. Then, even though God was faithful to provide for you, you may not receive it. If there is any lack, it is because the devil has stolen your provision through unbelief. God's will is always for you and your family to have more than enough. This basic provision is not the maximum blessing you can live in, but even if your faith is weak, this is God's guarantee for you. If you trust God and obey Him, He will provide for you even more abundantly. Genesis 22:14 NLT 14 Abraham named the place Yahweh, which means the Lord will provide. One of God's names is Yahweh, also spelled Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord will see to it, that is, the Lord will provide. The Lord sees ahead and provides. That is one of His names. God cares for you, and plans for your provision, even before you know you need it. There will not be one day in your entire life that God has not seen ahead and made provision for you. It may require some searching for you to find it. It may even be difficult to obtain. But God's provision is always there. Matthew 6:26-27. Look at the birds in the sky. They don't sow seed or harvest grain or gather crops into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you worth much more than they are? Jesus said God provides food for the birds, implying that God provides for every creature. Yet, if a bird sits still, instead of gathering the food God has provided for them, they can starve. God does not carry food to their nest and put it in their mouths. Birds don't sit in the spot where they found food yesterday and wait for more food to show up there today. They keep looking, obviously confident that food is available somewhere. Although most birds have nothing stored up for their future, they don't worry. Neither should we. It is not wrong to save or invest for your future. In fact, it is good, but you should always recognize God as your source and trust Him. So work, but don't worry. And if you can't do normal work, still don't worry, because God cares more for you than He does the birds, and He will provide for you somehow. If you accept lack, you may have it. But if you have as much faith as a little bird, you will keep looking for your provision until you find it, because you know that God has made provision for you. You may have to look in a different place than you found your provision yesterday, and you may have to look longer than you did yesterday, but if you keep looking, you will find it. 9. God is not against prosperity and wealth. Psalm 35:27-27. And let them say continually, "The Lord be magnified, who delights in the prosperity of His servant." Many think being poor is God's will. Scripture actually gives a quite opposite picture. Poverty is not a blessing but a curse. God is not trying to keep you poor in order to teach you something. The Bible says King Solomon, the richest man in history, was rich because God blessed him. Some of the people in the Bible who walked closest to God were rich. Abraham was called the friend of God. King David was a man after God's own heart. Both were wealthy. Abraham was even said to be very rich. Genesis 13:2, according to the New Covenant, Galatians 3:9, 3:14, 3:29, those who believe in Jesus Christ are to receive the same blessings as Abraham. Deuteronomy 8:18-18. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth, that He may confirm His covenant that He swore to your fathers, as it is this day. Many have thought Jesus was a poor man, but Scripture does not actually support that idea. Jesus did become poor when He died on the cross, but He was not poor during His earthly ministry. Jesus was known for giving to the poor and was also responsible for supporting a large group of disciples. Jesus had a treasurer on His staff to manage His money. Poor people don't do those things. While Scripture does warn against the love of money and its misuse, financial prosperity is considered a blessing from God in the Bible. Proverbs 10:22-22. The blessing of the Lord makes a person rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. Some think the Bible says money is evil, but it does not. It is not money, but the love of money that is evil, 1 Timothy 6:10. When people love money, they do evil things to get it. People can love money even when they have none. Money is not bad but is simply a tool. The person using money determines whether it will be used for good or used for evil. A poor person is very limited in how they can help others. So God is not against you having wealth. He just doesn't want you to be deceived by it, or to trust in it. For it will surely disappoint you. Money has deceived many. They think it will bring them happiness, but it disappoints. Matthew 13:22-22. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. Please notice it is not riches that choke the word, but the deceitfulness of riches. Believing lies about riches is what keeps the word from producing good fruit in people's lives. Riches promise more than they can deliver. They promise security, happiness, and satisfaction in life, but fail to deliver. Things will not make you happy, not for long. If having more money was the answer, all rich people would be happy. According to Jesus, life does not consist of the abundance of one's possessions, Luke 12:15. True and lasting happiness in life is not achieved by getting, but rather by giving. No matter how much you accumulate, it will never satisfy you. You will always want more. But when you realize God is your source and you can give to help others without worrying about your own needs, you enter into joyous freedom. 1 Timothy 6:17 is 17 As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. Riches may let you down, but God never will. God will always provide for you because you are His child. And if you act on God's word and let the Spirit of God guide you, He will cause you to have a rich supply, lacking in nothing good and always able to bless others. If you walk with God in trust and obedience, the sky is the limit for how much you can be blessed. One idea from God can make you wealthy. 10. You are rich because of what Jesus did for you. 2 Corinthians 8:9 NLT 9 You know the generous grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, so that by His poverty He could make you rich. God placed the first humans, Adam and Eve, in a garden paradise where all their needs were abundantly supplied, with never a thought of lack. But through disobedience to God mankind fell, and a curse came on the earth. After man sinned, the devil had access to people and brought him stealing, killing, and destruction. All poverty and lack in the earth today is the result of that curse, and the devil is behind it. Jesus came to redeem us and set us free from this curse. Jesus took our poverty that we might have His wealth. It cost Jesus His life, shedding His blood to free us. Hebrews 2:14 BNLT 14 For only as a human being could He die, and only by dying could He break the power of the devil, who had the power of death. Jesus died not only so your sins would be forgiven, but also to free you from the devil and the curse sin produced. Jesus' death legally frees you from all the curse. But you have to stand up for what belongs to you. You have to assert the rights Jesus paid for you to enjoy. 1 John 3:8 BNLT 8 But the Son of God came to destroy the works of the devil. Prosperity was purchased for all by the sacrifice of Jesus at Calvary. The reason we don't have it is because we either don't know it belongs to us, or we are allowing the devil to steal it from us. On the cross Jesus suffered true poverty and lack. He was hungry, thirsty, naked, and lacking everything. It was not because of anything He did wrong, but for our redemption. By His sacrifice, provision was made for our finances, as well as our forgiveness and healing. On the cross Jesus took the curses we deserved, so that we might receive as a gift the blessings Jesus deserved. Isaiah 53:5 Amplified 5 But He was wounded for our transgressions, He was bruised for our guilt and iniquities, the chastisement, needful to obtain peace and well-being for us was upon Him, and with the stripes, that wounded Him we are healed and made whole. Jesus paid the price necessary for you to obtain peace and well-being. The word translated as peace is shalom. It means well-being in every way, not just inward peace, but what can be seen by others, and definitely includes material prosperity. Jesus died so that you could always have enough. His death purchased prosperity for you. Jesus died that you might have life, and have it in all its fullness, John 10:10. Galatians 4:7 NLT 7 Now you are no longer a slave but God's own child. And since you are His child, God has made you His heir. After you receive Jesus, you are no longer a broke beggar, but but a child of Almighty God, John 1:12. Haggai 2:8-8. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, says the Lord of Heaven's armies. Just like a well-loved child of a billionaire can say, I am rich. Even when they have no money in their pocket, you can say the same thing and tell the truth. Psalm 50:12 NLT 12. For all the world is mine and everything in it. Your heavenly Father is rich beyond compare, and he chose to make you his heir, and give you everything. When God gave us Jesus, he gave us everything because everything belongs to Jesus, Romans 8:32, Hebrews 1:2. 2 Peter 1:3 NLT 3. By his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. God has already given. Now it is up to us to learn how to receive his blessings by faith, and to keep the devil from stealing God's blessings from our lives and our families. You should not have to wait until you have money in your hand to believe what God said. You can have confidence that he will always provide for you abundantly. So you will always have a full supply, and that is one definition of rich. Listen to what Jesus said from heaven to believers, Revelation 2:9 NLT 9, I know about your suffering and your poverty, but you are rich. Although we may be in poor circumstances, we are not poor people. We are children of God and heirs of God. Instead of arguing with Jesus, you should agree with him, allowing him to guide you out of poverty. Jesus paid the price for you to always have abundance, and Jesus should get what he paid for. Rise up in faith and quit letting the devil steal from you what Jesus has provided. 11. You are now a giver. God your Father is a giver, and you should act like your Father. Giving is an act of love, and an act of faith. As God's child you are no longer a taker, but a giver, because God's love has been put into your heart, Romans 5:5. The devil's kingdom is a kingdom of selfishness, so it operates by taking. God's kingdom is a kingdom of love, so it operates by giving. Real followers of Jesus are known for their great love, which is expressed by giving, to others, John 13:35. As God's child, you now live by the perfect law of liberty. Whatever you sow by giving, you reap as a multiplied harvest from God. As you give, God will see that it is given to you, Ephesians 6:8. Luke 6:38 NLT 38. Give, and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over, and poured into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back. The Bible teaches that giving is planting seed, which brings a larger harvest of provision back into your life. The more needs you have, the more important planting seeds is for your future. So start giving today. 2 Corinthians 9:6, 8, 11 NLT 6. Remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop. But the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. 8 And God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. 11 Yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. Rich people can give freely, without worrying how their own needs will be met, because they have abundance. When you realize you are rich in Christ and heaven backs you, then you will also be able to enjoy giving freely. Galatians 6:10 NLT 10. Therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to those in the family of faith. You may think you have nothing to give, but you do have something, God's blessing. Your most valuable gift to others is sharing the message of God's love and deliverance. Someone who gives their life in service to others, especially so they can receive the good news about Jesus, gives something more valuable than money. As God's child, you can pray for others and they will be blessed. You can lay your hands on sick people and they will get well. Proverbs 19:17 NLT 17. If you help the poor, you are lending to the Lord, and he will repay you. What you have been given, use freely to help those in need. 12. The Holy Spirit is your helper. John 14:26-26. But the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. John 14:16-16. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, to be with you forever. The Holy Spirit will never leave you or let you down. He is always with you to help you in every way. Hebrews 13:5-6. Near 5. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. 6. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? Romans 8:11 NLT 11. The Spirit of God, who raised Jesus from the dead, lives in you. John 16:13 NLT 13. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. 1 Corinthians 3:16-16. Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? God's Spirit lives inside you. He will guide you from the inside. The Spirit of Almighty God, Creator and Sustainer of all, lives in you. God's plan is that you become like Jesus, Luke 6:40, Romans 8:29, 1 John 3:2. That is made possible by God's Spirit living in you, Colossians 1:27. 13. God's Word, the Bible, gives you instructions for victory. Joshua 1:8 NLT 8. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. God has the answer for every problem. God's Word is God's wisdom. The Bible is God's message, given to you from His heart of love, so you can know the truth, and have a sure foundation on which to base your life. The Bible was not given to put you down, but to raise you up. Not to put you in bondage, but to make you free. God's Word gives you dependable truth you can use to form your beliefs, so that your beliefs will line up with the reality of how God's creation works. God alone knows all truth, and in the Bible He shared what you need to know to live a blessed life. Follow God's instructions and things will go well with you. The answer for success in life is to do what the Bible says to do, because it is truth. 14. Your words determine the direction of your life. James 3:2-5 NLT 2. Indeed, we all make many mistakes. For if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. 3. We can make a large horse go wherever we want by means of a small bit in its mouth. 4. And a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. 5. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches. But a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. You were trained by the world to speak words of doubt, failure, and lack. God's Word is meant to change your thinking, so your talking will agree with God. When you agree with God, you will get God's help and blessing. Words spoken by your tongue determine the direction of your life, just like the rudder of a ship determines the direction a ship will go. Words may not cause you to arrive at the destination immediately, but they head you in that direction, and eventually, if you continue in that direction, you will arrive there. With your mouth you can turn your life around. Mark 11:23 NKJ 23, For assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, single quote, be he removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Jesus said you will have what you say, if you believe it. But he never said you will immediately have what you say. He is telling us that the words you say set the course of your life. You will, eventually, have what you say, if you keep believing. What you say determines what you get in life. It did for the people of Israel. And the Bible says their experiences are lessons for us, 1 Corinthians 10:11. So never speak thoughtlessly. Instead, use your words to change things for the better. Romans 10:10. For with the heart man believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. Salvation, meaning deliverance, results from what our heart believes and our mouth says. The more strongly you believe and express your words, the more powerfully they propel you to that destination more quickly. But even words you don't fully believe, but only express in jest, may still steer your life in that direction. Because the devil is like a crooked lawyer watching your words, looking for any legal loophole giving him the right to bring stealing, killing, and destruction into your life. So if you don't want it in your life, don't say it. If you do want something in your life but don't yet have it, then say it. Deuteronomy 30:19. Today I have given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life, so that you and your descendants might live. You must choose between life or death, blessings or curses. You express your choices by the words you speak. You can choose to follow God, or choose to follow the devil. By your words you communicate your choices and open the door for one or the other. If you speak words of doubt, failure, and lack, you give the devil an opportunity to rob you. 15. Speaking God's word is your weapon. Ephesians 6:17. Put on salvation as your helmet, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The sword, or weapon, of the Spirit is not the Bible laying on a table, but God's word spoken by a believer. A weapon must be used against an adversary to be of any benefit. Your adversary is the devil. So you must speak God's word to actively resist the lies of your enemy. Your battle is not against humans, but evil spiritual forces, which requires you to use spiritual weapons to prevail and prosper. Your weapon is speaking the word of God. You must take it and use it. The word must be spoken boldly in faith for it to be an effective spiritual weapon. Jesus defeated the devil for you. But you must enforce that defeat by standing in agreement with God. Only then will you see Jesus' victory manifest in your life. Keep on saying what God's word says, no matter what. You are in a fight for your faith. The devil wants to steal your faith and make you doubt God. He tries to make you think the word of God is not true and God is not faithful to keep his word. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. Hang on tight to speaking the word, because the devil doesn't want you to keep believing and speaking the word. Count on being tempted to not say what God says. It is easy to waver and doubt. But to win the battle we must stand firm. To overcome, you must continue speaking words of faith from the Bible. Jesus was your example, showing you how to overcome the attacks of the enemy, by speaking the written word of God. Matthew 4:3-4. During that time the devil came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread." 4. But Jesus told him, "No. The scriptures say, people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." When tempted, Jesus did not use any supernatural powers to resist the devil. Jesus simply quoted the written word of God to the devil. Notice how the devil came to tempt Jesus, with the thought, a thought contrary to the written word of God. Then after Jesus quoted the Bible, the devil also quoted the Bible but twisted the meaning. Jesus responded only with another verse from the Bible. If you read the whole passage in Matthew 4:1-11, you will see that quoting the written word was the only defense Jesus used against the devil. If you are going to overcome temptation and walk in victory, You must follow Jesus' example and quote the Bible to the devil. There is no other way. When thoughts come that are not in agreement with the Bible, you must speak the word to the devil who is behind those thoughts. Matthew 4:10 NLT 10, "Get out of here, Satan," Jesus told him. "For the scriptures say, you must worship the Lord your God, serve only him." Jesus spoke directly to the devil, and so must you. Humans have authority on earth, and authority is exercised through words. 16. The devil is your enemy. People are not your enemies. They sometimes act like enemies, but they are not. They are only relatives in darkness who are believing lies and being influenced by the devil. Ephesians 6:12 NLT 12, "For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places." The devil is a liar. He robs people by getting them to believe lies. The devil has been completely defeated by Jesus and stripped of all authority. The only way the devil can operate and hurt people is by getting them to believe lies. John 8:44 NLT 44, "For you are the children of your father the devil, and you love to do the evil things he does. He was a murderer from the beginning. He has always hated the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, it is consistent with his character, for he is a liar and the father of lies." The devil is a liar and the deceiver. 2 Corinthians 11:14, Revelation 12:9. He attacks with thoughts of doubt and fear. We must resist those thoughts and refuse to speak them. Be aware also that the devil may even try to misuse scripture to deceive you, Matthew 4:5-7. So we cannot take scripture out of context and try to make it say something which it does not really say, and which does not reflect God's nature. 2 Corinthians 10:4 NLT 4, "We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments." We receive God's provision by faith. We must believe what God says. We must trust Him. We must not allow the devil to rob us through doubt and unbelief. We are involved in a fight of faith, 1 Timothy 6:12. So we may have to struggle to hold on to faith in God's word, and not give in to fear and doubt. John 10:10 NLT 10, "The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life." So when we lack, it is because the devil stole from us what Jesus purchased for us. We must enforce the defeat of the devil. Don't let the devil steal from you anymore. 17. You have authority over the devil, all his forces, and all his works. Luke 10:19 NLT 19, "Look, I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy, and you can walk among snakes and scorpions and crush them. Nothing will injure you." Mark 16:17 NLT 17, "These miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. They will cast out demons in my name." James 4:7b NLT 7, "Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Jesus gave you the right and responsibility to use his authority on earth. Jesus has the highest authority in the universe, not for his own benefit, but for your benefit. Ephesians 1:22 NLT 22, "God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all things for the benefit of the church." As a believer in Jesus, you are part of his church. You can stop evil in Jesus' name. Philippians 2:10 NLT 10, "That at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth." You are to exercise dominion in Jesus' name to bring to pass God's will, making earth become like heaven, Matthew 6:10. Matthew 16:19 NLT 19, "And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven, and whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. Heaven will back what you decide. If you permit the devil to operate, he will. But you have been given authority on earth to stop him because of your union with Jesus Christ. Disease is oppression by the devil, Acts 10:38, and is a primary reason for financial distress. You now have authority over all demons and disease in the name of Jesus. Luke 9:1 NLT. One day Jesus called together his 12 disciples and gave them power and authority to cast out all demons and to heal all diseases. Matthew 10:8 NLT. 8 Heal the sick, raise the dead, cure those with leprosy, and cast out demons. Give as freely as you have received. Jesus commands all his disciples to continue making new disciples who will do all he taught his original disciples, for as long as this world continues, Matthew 28, 19-20. So in his name you can command demons and disease to leave. 18. You have a supernatural way to pray. You were born in the midst of a spiritual battle between good and evil. The struggle is for the hearts and minds of people. Jesus already completely defeated our enemy, the devil, at Calvary about 2,000 years ago. But through the ignorance of many, the devil still operates when people choose darkness and evil. God created the earth and gave mankind authority over it. So out of legal fairness, God chooses not to intervene on earth except as he is asked to do so by humans. Prayer is how we ask God to act on earth and help us. Yet we are limited in our knowledge and understanding. We don't always know how to pray or even what to pray for accurately. So God in his wisdom has made a way for every believer to be able to pray perfectly, by speaking in new languages supernaturally. Mark 16:17 NLT 17 These miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. They will cast out demons in my name, and they will speak in new languages. This supernatural way to pray is normally referred to as speaking in tongues, because tongues is the old English word that was used for languages. It is simply a Christian believer speaking normally, in full control, but speaking in a fluent language unknown to them. This is how it works. The Holy Spirit dwelling in you will give words to your spirit, which is the real you, the inner person, and your spirit will speak those words, bypassing your mind entirely. 1 Corinthians 14:14 NLT 14 For if I pray in tongues, my spirit is praying, but I don't understand what I am saying. Your mind will not formulate the words or decide what to speak. Yet you will always remain in full control, just as when speaking in your native language. You can start and stop any time you decide. You will never be forced by the Holy Spirit to speak. 1 Corinthians 14:15 NLT 15 Well then, what shall I do? I will pray in the Spirit, and I will also pray in words I understand. Note that praying in the Spirit, which, from the context, obviously means praying in tongues, is subject to your will in the same way as praying with your understanding in your native language. The Holy Spirit does not speak in tongues for you. You will have to speak the words given to your spirit by the Holy Spirit. Speaking in tongues is your spirit speaking in a language you never learned, as the Holy Spirit inside you gives you the words to speak. The words do not come through your mind, but directly from your spirit out of your mouth. Because your mind is not directing this kind of prayer, there is no question whether it will be answered, for it will be a perfect prayer, free from all doubt, unbelief, and fear. This wonderful gift allows us to pray for things we would not otherwise know about or know how to pray for. Our knowledge and understanding have limits, but the Holy Spirit knows everything, even the future, and will guide us in prayer accordingly. This way every one of us can pray perfectly. This gift is freely available for everyone who believes in Jesus Christ. It is not something you have to earn or achieve. But like every gift of God, it must be actively received by faith. For God never forces his gifts on anyone. Ephesians 6:17-18 And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. 18 Praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Our spiritual weapon, the sword of the Spirit, is speaking God's words. We can either quote the Bible, or we can speak in tongues as the Spirit of God gives us words to speak. Both of these ways are using our spiritual weapon, for both are speaking words given to us by God. We have authority to speak directly to the devil's forces, but we can also fight the devil by speaking to God in prayer. Just like a soldier on a battlefield can use a telephone to call for others to help, God can send his angels, or other Christians, to help you in response to prayer. When you pray in tongues, your words are perfectly directed and hit the target exactly every time. So the devil loses ground, and you win. You can understand why the devil would not want any believer to pray in tongues, because it is a way to pray perfectly. Every perfect prayer is always answered, 1 John 5:14-15, and that answer always sets back the forces of darkness. So we need to emulate Paul, who spoke in tongues more than all the believers in Corinth. 1 Corinthians 14:18 NLT 18 I thank God that I speak in tongues more than any of you. Just as you cannot pray too much in your native language, you also cannot pray too much in your spiritual language. It is vital for your welfare and the advancement of God's kingdom on earth that you do it as much as you can. When you first start praying in tongues, it may seem difficult and you may not be very fluent. Don't worry. You didn't start out speaking your native language fluently, either. As you continue, it will get easier and you will grow more comfortable doing it. Just boldly continue speaking in faith and you will become more fluent. Like doing anything new, it can seem awkward at first, but once you start it, it is so easy and natural. Experts tell us there are more than 5,000 different languages used on earth. No one knows them all. So don't hold back and hesitate if your supernatural praying does not always sound like a great language to you. After all, you are probably not an expert on languages. And remember that you are not speaking to yourself, but to God, so it doesn't really matter how it sounds to you. Just speak out boldly in faith whatever sounds the Spirit gives you, and as you continue to do that, it will become very clear to you that this is not something you could do on your own. Heavenly Father, thank you for filling me with your Holy Spirit. I believe in Jesus, so, according to your word in Mark 16:17, I can now speak in new languages, and the Holy Spirit will give me the words to speak. So, right now, by faith I will lift my voice and boldly begin speaking whatever sounds you give me to speak. Now do it. 19. How to minister healing. Every believer in Jesus has authority to cast out devils and heal the sick. Mark 16:17-18 NLT 17 These miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. They will cast out demons in my name, and they will speak in new languages. 18 They will be able to handle snakes with safety, and if they drink anything poisonous, it won't hurt them. They will be able to place their hands on the sick, and they will be healed. Never try to prove you can handle snakes or drink poison without harm. This scripture is about believers going into all the world to proclaim the good news of Jesus. As we do, God's promise is that nothing can stop us, not demons, dangerous animals, or dangerous food and water. Paul shaking off the deadly snake without harm in Acts 28:3-6 is an example of applying this passage correctly. Then verse 8 is an example of a believer laying hands on a sick person and healing them. John 14:12 NLT 12, I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done, and even greater works, because I am going to be with the Father. Jesus said those who believe in him would do the same things he did. That includes healing the sick. Acts 10:38 NLT 38 And you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Then Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. God is now with you. Around you are many people being oppressed by the devil. Your job is to set them free. You will do it in Jesus' name, which means representing him. It is not something difficult, but simple to do. Speak directly to the demon or sickness and command it to leave. Then speak directly to the body or body parts and command them to be healed. If possible, touch the person with your hands. For example, take someone by the hands, then boldly say, "Disease and everything afflicting this person, I command you to leave now, in Jesus' name. Body, receive the healing power of God and be healed now." Then tell them, "You are free now. Jesus Christ has brought healing to you." Give all praise to him. Expect a full recovery. Then tell them to do something they could not do before, like get up and walk. Often you will see instant change, but sometimes healing is a process over a short period of time. Either way, because of the authority of Jesus Christ which you exercised, the demons and sickness have no choice but to leave.